Earlier this week, Iraq was rocked by a series of coordinated attacks which killed an estimated 115 people across the country. The Associated Press called them the worst Iraq has seen in 2 years and the deadliest since the United States officially withdrew from the country. We are joined now by Sebastian Walker, a correspondent for Fault Lines on Al Jazeera English. He recently traveled to Iraq to look at how it's faring for a two-part series called Iraq After the Americans. We have a link to it on our show page at WNYC.org, and I'm pleased to welcome Mr. Walker to our show today. Hello.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Now, al-Qaeda in Iraq claimed responsibility for the recent attacks, which took place at sites across the country. Is the security situation in Iraq deteriorating, or is this just a unique situation?
Well, I think if you look at the number of incidents nationwide, the actual number of attacks is actually going up from the figures last year. The total number of people killed is not rising. So overall, it looks like the situation is kind of getting better if you don't kind of see a lot of the reporting. But around the country, there are actually a lot of attacks taking place right now. After the troops have left, there are a lot of scores being settled, and in particular, those members of the forces that took up arms against al-Qaeda in the Sunni areas of the country and in the central heartland of Iraq. A lot of those people are now being targeted, and there are assassinations going on of guys who were part of the Sahwa militia, who were actually taking up arms to try to fight al-Qaeda. A lot of those guys are actually being taken off now, being assassinated by roadside bombs or shooting attacks.
As a kind of payback.
We spent a month effectively traveling around Iraq from the very south of the country to the very north, kind of taking the pulse of where things are headed and looking at things like the security situation and the political situation. And, I mean, when you drive around the country, there are big differences according to what part of Iraq you're in. And the security in places like the Shiite cities of Najaf or Karbala or down in the south, people are pretty feeling more confident about their security there. But in other places, and even in Baghdad itself, it's still a very tense situation. The city, if you drive around it, it's still very much a city under a militarized occupation. There are soldiers at every entrance to every single neighborhood. It's a very militarized presence. And people just really don't know what kind of future lies ahead, because there are still a number of huge underlying problems, political, sectarian problems, that Iraq is facing, which really aren't getting talked about very much in the mainstream news media, especially in the West.
Aren't there blast walls in place over much of Baghdad?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, all of those same things exist. I hadn't been back to the country since I reported there from 2003 to 2006. So this was the first time that I'd been back after the U.S. Forces had left the country, so I was very interested to see how different it was going to be. And a lot of the things that you see in Iraq these days are kind of similar to what you saw back then. There are still armed patrols racing around, soldiers with guns guarding every street corner. There is a militarized presence pretty much everywhere you go. It's just that it's now an Iraqi presence. So I guess in some respects you could say that that's progress. But one of the major problems that we came across, and one of the major complaints, is that people believe that the people in control of the country aren't necessarily free of those sectarian tensions which existed and created a lot of the internal strife during those very bad years. So it's still a very tense situation, and people are pretty unsure of the future.
The United States has withdrawn most of its military forces from Iraq, and U.S. spending in the country will soon be about 5% about what it was at its peak. So I would assume that has caused some troubles just for the running of the government in Baghdad. Although, didn't the Iraqis want us out of the country?
Well, I mean, the presence of the U.S. in Iraq, I think, was one of the focuses of our films. We on shows called Fault Lines, and we look at the impact of U.S. policy in the U.S. and around the world, what kind of effects it has on people. And we were going to Iraq to really look at the decision that the Obama administration made to pull troops out of the country. That was one of the major foreign policy issues that he campaigned on the last time there was the U.S. election. So, you know, in an election year, we thought that going back to Iraq to look at, you know, the consequences of that policy 4 years on was probably a good thing to do. And we were also doing it in the context of seeing very little reporting on Iraq coming out in this country. So one of our biggest focuses was to try to look at what the U.S. is doing in Iraq. And what we find is that it seems almost as if the U.S. is kind of somewhat washing its hands of Iraq. The huge embassy that they built in Baghdad, one of the largest of its kind in the world, the cost of nearly $1 billion, is now being downsized. There are plans to cut diplomatic staff there by up to 50%. Even in the economic fields, in the oil fields in the south, a lot of the companies that you see coming in aren't U.S. companies. They're Chinese or Russian or French. There is really a world of difference in terms of the numbers of Americans that you see in Iraq, and the kind of feel of U.S. presence on the ground totally changed. So speaking to Iraqi politicians, those in charge in the Green Zone are saying that, you know, this is obviously progress. This is what Iraq has wanted. But you also get the impression that U.S. After all of that money that was spent and the invasion and the post-invasion period, the numbers of the U.S. soldiers that were killed. One of the major complaints that people have is that there is still no democracy, the kind of freedom of speech and the ability to have, you know, pro-democracy protests in Baghdad isn't there. And there are a number of complaints about the sectarian nature of the government and the constitution in Iraq right now. So when you kind of sit back and look at it and look at why this was actually done and what has been achieved, I think there are a number of question marks in terms of what the U.S. legacy in Iraq has been that we really try to focus on.
It's been suggested that Iran is the real victor in this conflict. Was that your sense?
That's certainly what you hear from in certain sections of the country. There is a lot of distrust of some of the political figures who are in charge of the government at the moment. There is certainly, that criticism has been there at the same time that Iran certainly has a lot more influence in Iraq than it did before the invasion throughout Saddam Hussein. In terms of what you, it's very hard to kind of get a real grasp on just how much the extent to which that plays out. These are, in economic terms, for example, you can point to the fact that in the Shiite holy cities there is huge amounts of Iranian money flowing in. There are Iranian tourists coming in far greater numbers than there were before 2003. I think one of the most one of the biggest concerns is that Iran's influence over Iraq's government has become stronger, and that they are much more invested in having more influence on Iraq than the U.S. Has been able to do. And I think that's certainly something that a lot of Iraqis that we met were very concerned about. And I think that that's another question mark when you kind of think back to the reasons why this new Iraq project was done. I think if people had kind of thought 9 years after the invasion that this was going to be a government which was, you know, much closer to Iran than the government was before 2003, there might have been questions asked of the rights of what we're actually doing the invasion in the first place.
What about the developments in other parts of the Middle East, the Arab Spring, and what's happening in Syria, where quite a few Iraqis fled following the U.S. invasion and all of the ethnic cleansing that occurred at that time?
Well, the Arab Spring and its impact in Iraq has been actually very interesting for us. On our journey, we met some of the people who were protesting in Baghdad, Tahrir Square, and that.
There's a Tahrir Square in Baghdad.
Yeah, there is, and it was actually the site of demonstrations, pro-democracy demonstrations, At the same time as events are unfolding elsewhere in the region, there are also Iraqis taking to the street and, you know, demanding greater freedom, freedom of expression. That wasn't very widely reported on, and we've actually managed to speak to some of the people in that movement now, a year later, and they've found it very difficult to get out and actually protest, make a demonstration for greater democracy in Iraq. Iraq is obviously you know, threatened by all sorts of security problems in the ways that maybe other Middle Eastern countries aren't, but it's certainly a very interesting part of the discussions about the political future in Iraq, that because of this security threat, there's a perception that the government is able to just, you know, clear protesters from the streets on the pretext of security and not allowing freedom of speech in the same way that other Middle Eastern countries might, and actually using that as an excuse to crack down on pro-democracy protesters. That's something that we heard from people in the movement in Iraq, and it's
doing what Assad did, saying that these people are terrorists, in effect. You spoke to the leader of the popular movement to save Iraq. What does he see as the problems facing Iraq today, and what is his political orientation?
Well, for me, the main thing that he saw as the problem was the sectarian nature of Iraq's constitution, a constitution which makes it so that the president and the prime minister, the speaker of parliament, have to be from different sectarian backgrounds. There are sectarian quotas. And for Iraqis, that's something that really didn't used to exist before the USA invasion in 2003. That was not something that Iraqis valued. The difference between people's sect or religion or ethnicity wasn't something that really, that's something that they didn't think should be the future direction of the country. That's
but when Saddam Hussein... When Saddam Hussein was in control, the Sunni minority was pretty much seen as oppressing both the Kurds and the Shiite majority, weren't they?
Absolutely. But then the USA invasion in 2003 was meant to establish a new Iraq, an Iraq with a different set of values and a greater desire for democratic standards, which means that the leader of this popular movement in Iraq, sitting talking to us in 2012 with a sectarian quota existing in the constitution, is saying that, well, why did, you know, what was the purpose of the invasion then? If this is the current reality of Iraq, if there are still these sectarian dimensions to the way that our country is governed, what was the reason for removing Saddam Hussein in 2003? What has been achieved? And I think that's that's really the underlying kind of question of our films, was to look at what's been achieved, to look at where the country is going at this point, and what the legacy of that very turbulent period in Iraq's history has brought, whether it's pushed things in a better direction or not. And if you speak to people like the leader of this movement, he's, you know, asking what the point is. After all those people have been killed, after all the suffering, Iraq's economy is still incredibly shaky. There is poverty in many areas of the country. The security situation is still incredibly unstable. So people are really, at this point, after the U.S. forces have left Iraq, I think this is a moment of reflection, and people are sitting back and thinking, well, you know, what has been achieved? What, counting the cost of everything that's happened, where are we now? Are we in a better situation than we were before? What has the success of this period been?
Sebastian Walker is correspondent for Fault Lines on Al Jazeera English, the two-part series Iraq After the Americans. And Al Jazeera English can be seen in New York City on Time Warner Cable on Channel 92 and Verizon Fios on Channel 481. Thank you so much for talking with us, Sebastian.
Thanks for having me.